As Alan mentioned, our reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator.
Appreciate Jan reading those verses this morning. We'll be looking at some of these for a few thoughts concerning our life as Christians. As Peter wrote these words of encouragement, he was letting Christians know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and fulfilled God's will through God's mercy and grace, he sent his Son. The prophets had prophesied of his coming of his Son. His Son arrived on this earth being born of the Virgin Mary, lived his life, leaving an example to follow, fulfilled the law of Moses, took it out of the way and put into effect the law of Christ, wherein his grace and mercy. And there were Christians that were being persecuted because they were just that, Christians, following the gospel, obeying the things that they had been instructed to do and by faith believed from the preaching of those apostles and early preachers. So they were following Christ. And you back up in that chapter a little bit to verse 1, and he says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And so he goes on and talks about the life that some may have lived, those of the Gentiles and others, had lived their lives in certain ways that was against the will of God. And he says, now as Christians, you're no longer bound by the law of Moses, and you're no longer bound by that. You're under grace and mercy. So live your lives as such, as servants of God. And in that, Christ suffered because of who he was. He suffered because of what he did. He suffered because of what he taught. And so you as Christians who are followers of Christ, you too may also suffer. As a matter of fact, he says, you will suffer as a Christian from those who may not be Christians, from those of the world, or those around you who don't believe in God and the things of truth, who want to practice things that are against the will of God. So you may suffer from them by being reviled by them, by being discouraged by them, by being made fun of by them, by being persecuted by them. And so he's letting them know that as a Christian, there's glory at the end if you'll stay faithful, if you'll persevere through all these things that may happen to you and possibly will happen to you. You being persecuted because you're doing the right thing, others will revile you. Because you're doing the right thing and obeying the truth, they will come out against you. And so don't give up. Serve God. Be faithful. Do his will. Because after all, the sufferings in this life as a Christian are so much greater for the good of glory and for the lasting good than what you're going through now because eventually you're going to be rewarded for doing good and not evil. And he encourages them in these verses, don't be like the people around you who are persecuting you and reviling you and making fun of you and bringing pressure on you because you're doing what's right. Don't be discouraged by them and led away by them, because they're going to get their reward, he tells them. They're going to be judged, and you're going to be judged, but you're glorifying God in your bodies by doing what's right and not giving in to their harassment will give you that which sustains a faith that leads to eternal life. Yet they will be judged and condemned, because if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? He asks them that question in these verses. And so this morning we think about our life as Christians. We really have had it pretty good in our lives as far as being blessed materially and financially, the things of life. We've had it good in our generations that's represented here, in being able to serve God and to openly worship God on the first day of the week, and to have gospel meetings and singings and to assemble publicly and invite others to. And so we've been blessed in that regard. Yet some of these Christians that Peter's talking to, their lives were on the line if they even met to worship God. So today, let's think about who we are. We're Christians. We're baptized believers in Christ. We've been purchased from our sins. And so we walk in the light as he is in the light. And by doing that, we're going to catch some flack, you might say, from other people. We're going to catch some things from the people of the world that will rise up against us and ridicule us and make fun of us for what we stand for. And yes, even make life hard for us. We know that happens sometimes in the workplace. Christians are few and far between. So in a workplace that has 500 employees, you might find just a handful of people in that organization and in that workforce and in that group that are Christians. And it may be that some of their supervisors or some of those that they work with are people who don't believe in God. They don't believe in truth. So when they find out that you will not bet on a ball game, or that you will not engage in a raffle, or they find out that you don't curse and swear, or they find out that you walk away when a dirty joke is being told and you won't stand there and listen to it, when they find those things out, sometimes they begin to point your finger at you and say, well, look at him. He thinks he's so good, a goody-goody. Well, or who do you think you are? And so they'll do everything they can to persecute you and make you feel bad, so you'll come over on their side and laugh with your dirty jokes and lie with them when they bring deceit to their employer, or give a false reason for missing work, as they would. They want you to join in them. And so Christians are sometimes ridiculed and persecuted and pressured by others at work. Sometimes family members will persecute the one or two or the few that are Christians. If some of those members are not Christians, they may say, well, why can't you go to that ball game on Wednesday night and watch those kids play? Well, we have Wednesday night Bible study. Well, what do you mean? We've got to go to that game on Wednesday night. Years ago, I can remember years ago when I was young, most of the high schools in Coleman County had a basketball team, and that was about it. Probably Coleman was the only team in the area at that time that had a football team. And of course, a lot of the baseball was played in backyards and in fields and that nature. And then you say, well, you must be pretty old. Well, no, but there's a lot of progress been made in the last 40 or 50 years in sports and things and all the things that's been built for that. But my point is that even back then, high school coaches and principals, they didn't schedule this thing on Wednesday night. They didn't schedule a ball game on Wednesday night. That was off limits. And they didn't schedule anything on Sunday during the time of worship services. They did for school. They didn't do that. If anything, if they had a backyard or something, they'd have it on Sunday afternoon. A lot of them was Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And then some of them would be Sunday night at 8 o'clock after everybody got out of their services. So the point is that things change. Now, nobody really takes any perspective into consideration of Is this going to interfere with the worship services? Will this affect my children to make them, cause them to make a hard choice, you know, and have to put pressure on them? But the world doesn't care. But Christians do. So this morning we think about 1 Peter chapter 4, these verses that Jan read. Let's look at these verses, beginning in verse 12, where basically Peter says, you know, you're going to suffer as a Christian, but don't think it's strange if you suffer as a Christian. And he's going to tell us why. You're out there as a Christian, you're trying to do what's right, you're trying to be truthful, you're trying to worship, you're trying to follow the rules that God has set forth by faith, believing in heaven. So you're going to be persecuted. If you suffer as a Christian, don't think it strange. Why is this happening? Well, if you just use common sense and look at reasonable thinking, you know why it's happening. Because the majority of the world, according to Matthew 7, 13, and 14, will resist God, will turn against God. Think about what Noah must have gone through in Genesis chapter 6 in that time when only the thoughts of man's heart, his thoughts were only evil continually. And Noah was a righteous man. And out of everyone in the world, when God destroyed it, he looked at the wickedness of man and repented that he had made man. And he said, no, I'm going to destroy mankind from the face of the earth, so build this ark. Think about what Noah was up against. For the 120 years, he preached righteousness to these people, warning them about the flood, and he's building this ark. Well, only 8 souls were saved out of that group. You think Peter didn't get some reproach? You think Peter didn't get insulted? I mean, Noah, you think Noah didn't get reproached? You think he didn't get insulted or reviled? Because, well, look at him. He's building that boat. He says it's going to be a flood, destroy everything. Look at him. He's following his instructions that he's supposed to receive from God. But Noah did what was right. By faith, he built the ark according to instructions. So there's right and there's wrong. And today, there's right and wrong. There's truth and error. There's good and evil. So as Christians, we need to be serving God faithfully, because in verse 12 it said, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. So going into the thing as Christians, when we believe what Jesus did, what God did, and we believe that by faith, and we're baptized into Christ, going into it, baptized believers in Christ, newborn babes in Christ, and we grow in the Word, as we talked about last Sunday morning, we realize that going into it, we don't need to think it strange if somebody at work or at play or in the community or in the family ridicules us, derides us, gives us a hard time because we're trying to obey God. Don't think it strange. Verse 13, he says, don't think it strange in verse 12, but in verse 13 he says, rejoice even in your sufferings as a Christian. Peter says you're going to suffer some things from people around you that don't believe. It may be just people in society. It may be other things, associations. It may be the government that would persecute you. But whatever it is, don't think it's strange, but in that, rejoice even in your sufferings as a Christian. Verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake, listen now, partake of Christ's sufferings. Look back up to verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. Christ suffered. You're going to suffer for doing good. You're going to suffer because you're following Christ, because the world doesn't want it. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So we go in that rejoice even in suffering as a Christian. Verse 14, what about the if of this? Well, you rejoice in this if you are reproached, insulted, reviled for the name of Christ. Look at that. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, what is it? He says, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Look at what Peter's telling us today, just as he told them. Blessed are you on your part when you suffer as a Christian and stay faithful. Don't give up. What happens? God is glorified. Verse 15, as Christians, you're going to suffer. You're going to get some rebuttals from people because you're doing what's right. But verse 15, notice what he says there in that verse. As Christians, don't get involved in wrongdoing. Just because these other people are doing wrong, don't you go over there and turn away from following Christ and get involved in doing what's wrong. Don't have to suffer because you do what's wrong in the sight of men or the sight of the laws of the land or inside of government. Don't suffer for wrongdoing. Why? Because you're going to suffer enough as Christians because you're doing what's right. You're going to glorify God by doing what's right. And you're going to also glorify God by doing what's right by staying away from these things that's wrong. Look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. So, he's telling you, Christians, you're going to suffer some things because you're trying to do what's right, and some people won't like that, and they're going to come and cause you problems. So, endure. Be faithful. Endure the suffering. Why? Because you glorify God in this matter. But don't be caught up as a Christian in doing what everybody else does, such as murdering, such as being one who would steal, an evildoer. That covers about everything, an evildoer, don't it? Evildoer, that covers a lot of ground. Or as a busybody in other people's matters. Think about that. A Christian is such that we're following the steps of Christ, who did no sin, no guile with his found in his mouth. He left the pattern through which we could follow, the example, we have it recorded, and he left us instructions what to do. In that, we don't have to be that type of people. But look at that. You say, well, I'd never be the type of person to kill anyone. Well, we shouldn't be. Even the person that's not a Christian shouldn't be a murderer, but because that's wrong. And of course, we know that murder is wrong. And we know that stealing is wrong. Being an evildoer is wrong. But look here. Or as a busybody in other people's matters. You might just shake that off your shoulder and say, well, a busybody, that's just somebody sticking over somebody's business and they go on. Well, it's a big thing, really. Because look what it's listed with. So as Christians, when we clean up our act, when we're following God and doing His will, we'll be the type of people that we're not going to suffer because we're this type of people on this earth like others are. And we're not even going to be busybodies in sticking our nose into other business people's affairs where we don't have any business being or right to be. Busybodies can get themselves in trouble. Or a busybody telling something, going about from place to place, being busy after getting into other people's business and going and sharing it with others, being a tailback. These are things that maybe somebody might not classify as very much to it. It's not a murder and that like. But think about it as a Christian. We're different, aren't we? We're to be different. And we're glorifying God in this matter. So as Christians, don't get involved in wrongdoing. Don't be ashamed if you suffer as a Christian, but glorify God. Verse 16. I'll read verses 15 and 16 together. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. The point is that as a Christian, we may suffer some things from wrongdoing from other people, ridicule, being made fun of, pressure from other people around us that are not Christians because we're trying to do what's right. But if we'll stand firm and don't do those things, we'll glorify God in this matter. What matter? Of being faced with temptation, persecution, and trials from other people because they don't believe in God. So we can glorify God in that. We don't want to be like the world and not glorify God. Don't be ashamed if you suffer as a Christian. Well, in verses 17 and 18, he says, here's the thing about it, folks, is that as Christians, you're going to suffer. you're going to suffer some wrongdoing. You're going to be reproached. You're going to be insulted. You're going to be reviled. You're going to perhaps be made fun of. And you're going to be pressured by those around you that are not Christians. Don't fall into the trap. Don't fall into the snare. Behave yourselves in a righteous manner. Obey God, and you can glorify God in this matter. And then, verses 17 and 18, he says, you know what? Those people are going to face judgment just like you do. As Christians, you're going to face judgment according to the will of God, and they're going to face it also. But what's going to happen with you is, because you did not revile again when you were reviled, because you did not give in to the things that others were putting pressure on you to do that was wrong, because you did not turn and run when others brought pressure on you because you're a Christian, they're going to be judged and you're going to be judged, but look where you're going to be compared to where they're going to be. Now, verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Think about it. When Christ comes, when God says, it's time, son, go, and he comes in the clouds to judge the world, he's going to come and judge everyone. But when he comes, the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. And what's going to happen? Those of us that are Christians, that are faithful, that are alive and remain, will be caught up in the air with him, with the resurrected saints, and be delivered up to God, the kingdom, because we endured the sufferings, the trials, and troubles that we had to face, because we were faithful. But the same day, everyone else is going to be judged also, because all that are in the graves will come forth. All will be judged, but their demise is going to be that they won't ever just go away. They'll be put away from the face of God where there's darkness and suffering and trials and troubles and pain and fire forever and ever and ever. It don't ever end. But what? The destruction in a place called hell. So what's the good point in this? Suffer as a Christian. Be faithful as a Christian. Because everyone is going to be judged. If the righteous one is scarcely safe, where will the godly and the sinner appear? Therefore, verse 19, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. God's a creator, a giver, sustainer of life. He gave his son. His son gave his life for us that we might be saved. He was raised again from the grave the third day, sent it into heaven, and we too can go to heaven if we don't give up when trials and troubles come our way. May we pray that there will be peace on earth and goodwill to men, that we may have cooperation between nations and men and people, so that there can be peace, so that we can serve God without that. But some things are going to be going on all the time in this world. So if we suffer as a Christian, don't give up. Glorify God in this matter. So how am I dealing with the pushback, the insults, the wrongs, or the troubles and trials that I may face as a Christian? How are you dealing with that? In the community, in business, in school, in life. How are you dealing with that? He tells us how we need to deal with it. Glorify God in this matter. Well, let us be faithful. Be committed to do what God asks us to do. We'll read just a few verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Therefore, humble yourselves on the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter lays it out for us, don't he? Should give us encouragement. Should give us hope. Should give us trust. We're going to sing the song of invitation in just a minute, but before we do, I want you to turn to a song, and I thought I remembered that number, but I didn't really. I guess I didn't. Number 564. Look at number 564 just briefly. And after we sing this song, Brother Peter is going to come forward and lead the invitation song. And if you're subject to the invitation at that time in any way, to be baptized or need the prayer for brethren, you come when Peter leads us in the invitation song. But let's look at number 564. 564.